Hello, and welcome to the live webinar, Meeting Evolving Nonprofit Regulations and Standards in 2015, sponsored by Intech Corporation and powered by Nonprofit Pro. I'm Pia Payne, Associate Publisher and Brand Manager for Nonprofit Pro, and I'm pleased to welcome you to today's event. Before we get started, let me take a second to point out the Tips for Attendees widget on your console. It's the blue one with the wrench on it. And if you missed the Tech Tips video we played leading up to the webinar, you can always click this widget for more information. Now, I'd like to turn things over to our host for today, Vijay Ramakrishnan, Senior Director of Cloud Solutions for Intech, and he'll introduce you to today's speaker. Vijay, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Pia, and I wanted to thank all of our attendees today as well. It's great to be here. Thanks for taking time out of your busy days to learn a little bit more about, evolving regulations and standards. The main star of today's show is Jacqueline Tiso. She's the CEO of JMT Consulting Group, and Jackie and JMT have very deep experience in helping nonprofits optimize their processes and technologies. And so she has some great information available to you today that she's going to go through in very short order. Before she does that, I'd just like to provide you with a quick introduction to my company, who is Intech. Intech is a leading provider of cloud financial management and accounting software. We've got over 8,500 organizations relying on our cloud solution as their financial system of record. And amongst those organizations include nonprofits of all types, from faith-based organizations to foundations to membership organizations, nonprofits that are heavily involved in health and human services. And they're getting a lot of value out of our true cloud solution because it provides them with real-time information related to their financials from anywhere and at any time. Just to get to know Intech a little bit better, you should also know that we are the preferred provider of financial applications as acknowledged by the AICPA. So, they understand the depth that our solution has in the area of financial management and accounting. We're also the financial system of record for IFAC, the International Federation of Accountants, the standard-setting body. So we've got a lot of depth in terms of our capabilities. We've got a lot of nonprofits gaining a lot of value out of our solution. So with that brief introduction to Intech, it's my great pleasure to turn the floor over to Jacqueline Tiso, and she's going to walk you through the rest of today's presentation. So, Jackie, the floor is now yours.
Thanks, Vijay. Well, good day, everyone, and I'm also going to say thank you for joining us. Today, I'm going to be speaking about the evolving standards that are happening in the nonprofit area and the impact some of them absolutely will have on nonprofits, and others that may potentially impact your organization. The ultimate goal of all of the recommended and enacted modifications and changes is basically to make financial statements easier to read and understand, and I'm going to share and go into detail what a lot of them are. And the main thing you want to keep in mind through all of this, and you're going to hear me repeat it many times, is that what is becoming more and more evident, not only with these changes, but with just the general process that's happening with the FASB, is that organizations' systems, your systems, are going to need to do more and provide more internal controls and visibility and integration and automation. And you're going to get a sense of that as I start to go into some of the details of what's going to be happening. So probably the biggest thing is that this past March, the FASB approved issuance of an exposure draft for the financial statements, and they've been working on this since 2009. They originally started with the Nonprofit Advisory Council, a committee that they had formed to look at nonprofit reporting and accounting standards. And basically, the focus has been on refreshing what is now 20 years old, the reporting model that's been in place with FASB 116 and 117, and overall to improve visibility to the readers and the various constituents of your financial statements. So the biggest one is that they're replacing the current three-year net classifications down to two. And basically they're breaking it down to without donor-imposed restrictions, or what historically we've known as unrestricted. And then they're collapsing the other two into a single classification called with donor-imposed restrictions. And so basically the temporarily restricted net assets and permanently restricted net assets is going to go away, and we're going to have one category called board-imposed restrictions. You're going to be required to, you know, retain information and track information on these restrictions and disclose the type of restriction they are. And you're going to be required to describe how and when the funds can be used. And the best place to do all of this, here again, is to automate this process and have it within the systems that you're using. And then the other piece is you're still going to have, you know, board-designated funds, but you're going to have to be front and center in terms of disclosing the amount and purpose of those funds. They're also making changes in terms of gifts, capital-like transactions, long-lived assets that have no donor restriction, basically how you're going to track and monitor them. And if they don't contain a donor restriction, they are going to be reported as operating revenue on the statement of activities and statement of cash flows. So that's a bit of a change. And if there, you get an asset, a long-lived asset, and you place it in service rather than sell it, then your organization would report it as a transfer out of operations. So it's going to come into your operating funds, and then you're going to transfer it out of operations. So there's a few different permutations to what you have to do in terms of tracking and reporting. And here again, all of this is being done to provide more and more visibility in your financial statements and in your note disclosures to the readers of those reports. The other thing was board designations. The change is going to happen here where you have to present your operating revenues and expenses before and after transfers. So they're breaking out transfers between funds into a separate discrete section of the financial statements versus where often it has been tracked through the revenue section of your financials. So, you know, all of these are being done in order to continue to highlight and identify areas that should be visible and very clear to the recipients. One thing I like to share with everyone, even though many of you may not be located in New York, is what is happening in the New York space, primarily because New York represents approximately 25% of nonprofits, and it's seen as a leader, if you will, in terms of regulations and compliance within the not-for-profit space. And New York went through a pretty significant change in terms of what they were expectations were and the guidelines were for nonprofits. And so I share this because even though your organization may not be located in New York, there are things that you want to be aware of that could be coming down into your state if they haven't already. First and foremost is a whistleblower protection policy. Every organization should have a policy in place, regardless of whether it's required or not. New York has taken it and said it is required, and it's given guidelines in terms of what needs to be put in place. The other piece, and here again, these are best practices, there's an audit committee, and New York here again has taken a lead in terms of really quantifying the organization size that needs to have an audit committee and the expectation of what that audit committee is. They've also provided guidelines and requirements in terms of who can serve in a board officer position, as well as voting and contributing to any dialogue in terms of compensation. So the key thing here is regulations are continuing to get tighter and more expansive, and compliance bar is being set higher. And the more that your organization is aware of this going in, as well as the more that you're able to automate many of this through your systems, through internal controls where your system is requiring certain pieces of information, certain signatures, date requirements, alerts, all of that's going to help you to meet these requirements. Now, another one that's really important, and if you're a grant-funded organization, I'm sure you're already aware of this, is there were there was changes made to Uniform Grant Guidance, UGC, and that came into effect about 6 months ago. And basically, here again, key message here is internal controls are being looked at, much stronger rules in terms of the controls, what they are, as well as time and effort reporting. This is very important for agencies that get or want to get federal money, either directly from the federal government or a flow-through grant coming through your state or county or city, or even from another nonprofit who has received those funds as a result of a federal grant. So it flows all the way through. And you need to know this because you want to be eligible for these grants, and you'll be eligible for fewer grants and less money under the grants if you're not paying attention to what these rules are. So you're going to want to make sure you're aware of what's happening. Here again, everything I'm sharing, your auditors should be aware of, and they are an excellent resource for you to reach out to with any questions that you might have. Key piece here is internal controls. You have to establish and maintain internal controls over federal awards, and those internal controls have to provide reasonable assurance that you're managing them in compliance with the requirements and any specific requirements that may be around the specific grant funding you've received. And, you know, there's the Green Book of Standards for Internal Controls, and if you're not familiar with it, you should definitely go online and become familiar with it. Another key area is time and effort reporting. There were some really stringent but inconsistently enforced requirements to document time and effort that were in place. And the good news is that the new rules are more flexible. Previously, there was heavy focus on personal activity reports and timesheets for each employee, showing what they had worked on, as well as continuous time tracking. And it was very, very intensive. The new rules require that charges be based on records that accurately reflect the work performed. So you can use a planned allocation of time. All you have to do is make sure that you document the process and the rationale, and that you verify the accuracy at times during the year, say quarterly. So if you're using personal timesheets, for example, and they work for you, you can absolutely continue using them. But you can also do an allocation basis and then use the timesheets and activity sheets as validation for your allocations. So that is something that you might want to look into for your organization. Probably one of the greatest benefits that and I've seen from the changes that have come through is this last one I'm going to share with you. Unfortunately, many of the states have not embraced this yet, but specifically, it is now acceptable for your records to be maintained in electronic-only format. And that's really huge. So I'm telling organizations, this is the federal uniform grant guidance. Your state may not recognize this yet, but it is absolutely something that you should reach out to your contract managers at the state level and determine if you can do this, if they will accept electronic documents. This is a tremendous advantage for your organization. It's a tremendous cost savings for your organization, and document management, electronic document management, will allow you to have documents directly with the activities in your system, depending on what systems you're using. If your system has that functionality, it can be a huge time and cost saver. So my first question, we have a little poll here, and I would love to get an understanding for those that are on the call. If you have started planning or implementing changes in your organization to meet the new requirements that I've shared so far. So just give us a minute to get some responses. So this is excellent. The two-thirds of you, oh, a third of you have started, which really is excellent. I speak on this topic quite a bit, and this is a group that obviously is informed and starting on the process because that 33, that third, is actually higher than some of the previous speaking engagements I've had. So for those of you that are not, you're going to want to start thinking about it. And I further in this webinar, I actually share some information and methods that might help you in this. So I mentioned at the start that the reason why the changes in the accounting standards are important is not only for the specific changes that are being proposed right now, but also the direction that they're showing us. The key thing in all of this is visibility and validation. That's where the nonprofit sector is moving. Outcome measures in terms of whatever they might be within your organization, if you're a Meals on Wheels, for example, the number of meals you're serving, where you're serving them, the age groups that you're serving them to, these are really important pieces of information that are going to be looked at more and more. You're going to need to be able to track them and have visibility into them and look at the trending that's happening with them. There is, as I'm sure everyone on this call appreciates, there are higher and higher expectations coming now from donors and funders about who they're giving their money to, what their money is being used for, and how effective the organization is in achieving its mission. And there's more competition for funds. We all know that. And so fundraising is going to become more and more data-driven. I have a quote in there from Wayne Gretzky. My son played hockey for years when he was younger, and I always felt that this was so true not only in hockey, but in life in general. And so what I try to really communicate in these sessions is for us, for organizations to look forward and understand what's going to be happening. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but it is absolutely going to happen. So we want to give you time to plan and assess where you might be headed, your organization might be headed, and what you need. So we know government funding has increased compliance reporting and performance expectations. Some states have already implemented extensive reporting and outcome measurement requirements. We are seeing more pay for performance where services are being outsourced to organizations and firms that are getting funding in direct payment of performance. We also know that more and more nonprofits are becoming entrepreneurial in terms of what they're doing, what revenue streams they have, and where they're coming from. We have the need, which is only growing, for the visibility to see data that we need to manage our organizations and make decisions, strategic decisions around our organizations. And it is not data that is a snapshot or looking at things 2 months old or 8 weeks old, 6 weeks old, whatever it might be. It's using data to present projections forward, to give us forecasting and trending so that we can make decisions going forward. Non-financial reporting is becoming more and more important. It's not enough to have dollars, to have a financial statement that has $1 million, unless you can see that $1 million side by side with actual information measurement of what you're actually achieving. And integration, the best systems and organizations are ones that have applications that meet their organization's needs. And it could be four key applications, but those four talk to each other seamlessly without having to go through a lot of hoops, go through a lot of manipulation, so that that visibility and those dashboards are able to be there and be live in real time. Organizations have to really understand that the new generation of executives, board members, donors, et cetera, their expectations are much different than they used to be 10 or 15 years ago. They expect real-time, clean, visually appealing, easy-to-consume information about how an organization is accomplishing their mission. And they want to see how the funds are being used. And this is really key because there's younger generations coming up, and they expect greater transparency and accountability. And so nonprofits, you're going to need to show the journey of a dollar towards supporting your mission. And you're going to need that system integration to make that happen. So basically the key message here is perpetual performance improvement, a little bit of a tongue twister there. It's been the theme all along for what's coming. And it's the FASB. When you think about the FASB, we're talking about accountants. That's my background. I'm an accountant. I'm not a technologist. I'm a numbers person. And when we think about accountants coming together and saying it's not enough to have a financial statement, we need those financial statements to provide us the information we need to clearly understand the story behind an organization. So it is all about perpetual improvement of performance. You have to understand financial management today is about understanding how your organization is achieving its mission. You're going to not only look at the financial dollar data that you have. For example, your statement of activities or other reports you may have in your typical monthly financial packet, you're going to have to start tracking and having visibility into metrics and key performance indicators for your organization. you're going to really need to understand that, you know, because if you have a $100,000 grant and you serve 1,000 families, so that's the what, but what's next? So what? What is that? Is that enough insight that to have? And then where do you go with that? You know, now what? You have this information. Now what is management and board going to do with the information? How are you going to use that information to inform your strategic goals and your decisions for the future? Your funders are going to be looking for this information, and organizations who are proactive in understanding this and messaging this to the funders are going to be the ones that are going to be more successful in getting the funds. Financial information is not just debits and credits. It's the results of your mission, and this information is going to need to be visible, and accounting, the accountants are pushing in that direction. So, what do you need to do? So, the key thing here is that I've shared a number of changes that are happening as well as pending, but the one constant is that an organization's board and management has to be clear that you're responsible for your organization's financial statements. You're responsible for the note disclosures, for every number that flows through to those reports, the design and implementation of the information, how it's prepared, it's generated, it's represented, and that, of course, it's free from material misstatement, whether it's due to fraud or just plain errors. And here again, this is where this internal controls component comes into place. Some of you may be aware, large, well-known organization in New York State recently failed. It was a unbelievable impact to the area. It impacted the recipients of the programs of that organization. It impacted the funders and the staff, everyone. And it was, everyone walked away from this saying to themselves, how could this have happened? How could it not be known and no one had seen it? Management is responsible, and the information that's presented has to be clear enough and visible enough so that management can see what's happening and the board can see what's happening and funders and constituents can see what's happening. And you need to make sure that your systems support you in this process. One of the things that I tell organizations is when you think about your financial management, you have to recognize that it's not just the FASB is changing the report format, and so we need to move over to this new report format as an example. You need to understand that it's way more than that report format, and it goes back to what I've been saying earlier. Your constituents, who they are and what they need and how detailed or granular the information should be, and who are the partners that you have within your organization, whether they're alliance partners, other nonprofit organizations, your vendor partners, whoever they might be. Performance measures, repeatedly, and this is coming from the FASB as well, it's not just about dollars anymore. There are more and more going to be operational performance measures that are going to be looked at. And also, many reports and funders are cash basis versus accrual basis. So you need to be able to, here again, easily generate information needed for a cash basis, a reimbursement basis funder, as an example, versus an accrual basis. And you shouldn't have to jump through hoops to do that. You should be able to generate that information off of your system. So you need to look at a variety of different aspects when you're thinking about your financial management systems and processes. The FASB understands that donors, lenders, users, here again, are not only interested, but need to know what a nonprofit does and how effective it is. They're not just interested in a report of numbers. They need to understand what those numbers really mean in terms of telling the story. They understand, this is right from the FASB, that your organization's liquidity, its financial performance, the cash flow, all of that, including how your organization is being managed, has to be seen and understood. And so you, if you're responsible for the financial management within your organization, you need to know this information every day. You need to have confidence that you have the visibility and understanding at your fingertips. The financial statement changes, as well as the changes in the notes and disclosures that the FASB has come forth with, they're only going to continue, and you can be certain that more are coming. And that's, here again, I repeat this because it's really very important. Your organization, you know, can voluntarily do this now, and many of you are to some extent because you might be producing annual reports highlighting your programmatic accomplishments as an example. But the question that the FASB has now come to and that they're answering is that this is important information, not just in an annual report, but for every organization, and that there's value in standardizing and requiring this information under GAAP. So think about that. The kind of information you're providing in terms of performance and metrics and outcomes, an annual report isn't going to necessarily be enough. So there's a lot of potential challenges, you know, current and potential challenges with all of this, especially when we talk about performance outcomes. So we have just general accounting, nonprofit accounting challenges, and then when we bring in outcome measures, we're laying on a whole nother layer. So the key thing I speak with clients about all the time is if you are a nonprofit, you really need to have your solutions be in place, your technology that's in place, be capable for true fund accounting and nonprofit tracking. You need to have the solutions that are not, workarounds, made up of a bunch of workarounds, because that is going to take your eye off the ball in terms of the internal controls, the compliance, the automation that you need. You're going to be sunk down into the weeds versus pulling yourself up and looking at what the information is telling you and the innovation that can come from that. You're going to have, you know, deal with a lot of the organizations we work with, they are struggling with these challenges, like in weak internal controls and cash flow management and budgeting that's just done in Excel and spreadsheets for all of their reporting or a lot of their reporting, and the list goes on and on and on. So you really want to look at and use this as a checklist, if you will, and rate yourself on, do you get 1 star here, 5 stars, easy, have it, to don't have it, need it. So I have another poll here. It would be very helpful. If just thinking about it now and some of the things that I've talked about up to this point, looking at your systems, Do you think you have what you need to manage and meet the compliance requirements that are coming down the road for us or soon will be in the future? Okay, so this is great. We got a split of about 50-50, 45-54, yes and no. And here again, that's pretty typical. So financial management systems. Most of the time when I talk with organizations about this, typically organizations think about financial management as their accounting system, and that's the beginning and end of it. As I mentioned earlier, I'm an accountant. I have a little bit of a different view. I have very much a holistic view in terms of what financial management means. I view the financial management area of an organization as the hub of a wheel, and everything ultimately flows from all other systems into the hub. And so if you have your payroll HR, your grant management, your program management, any databases that you might have, budgeting, all of these purchasing, they could be in one system, they could be in five systems, they're all coming down into the hub of your financial management. So most people, when I go in and meet with organizations, they look at financial management system and they're thinking, well, this is my accounting system. And, you know, as I said, it's not just your accounting system. Your accounting system is one piece. I take a very holistic view, and your accounting system is one piece of it. And, you know, we talk to thousands of companies a year, and what we consistently hear from them is that their legacy systems are holding them back. Their software is holding them back. They want improved productivity or increased visibility or more flexibility. They want mobility. They want a solution that supports their business processes, and not having that system slows them down. It pulls them into ongoing dependence on spreadsheets and data silos within the organization, and senior management says they can't get visibility into what they need to see. And so the key thing here is we've massaged it down into three basic points, which is a lack of visibility, low productivity because there's so much manual effort going on, and then the internal controls. Here again, if you're relying on a lot of manual systems, then there are breaks in your internal controls that are just happening automatically. And so what we try to work with organizations about and help them to understand is what's happening, where is it happening, and how is it impacting their organization. So technology today is a lot different. Basically, the whole idea here again is visibility to metrics and measurements as well as the dollars. What's becoming clear every day is that nonprofits are having to track more and report more and control more, and your systems need to keep pace with you. So your back office systems are really key to being successful in meeting your tracking and reporting needs and giving you that visibility and those internal controls. And it doesn't matter what system you use, you need to be able to capture and report on activities, and it should be at both a dollar and statistical level, and your system should do it for you. And I'm like such a big proponent of this. You really need your systems to support you with internal controls and automated workflows so that you're not relying on a piece of paper or an email going from one person to the next person to the next person to have approvals that, you know, whether it's a journal entry or whether it's cutting a check or whether it's purchasing a requisition, all of that should be automated. There should be documentation. Here again, I spoke earlier about electronic documents. Documentation attached to any activity or entry, think about if you could have visibility from a dashboard that was showing you trending and dollars and click back and be able to see information or have alerts that were telling you you were trending up and down, not just on dollars but on outcomes, statistical information. This information, this is really, really important, and this is what systems need to do and what the new technology can do. So one of the statements that is really key in the FASB in terms of changes that are coming is the statement of cash flow. And this is going to be changing to improve readability and provide better insight into an organization's liquidity information. And this is probably the biggest change to the financial statements, but I believe it's going to ultimately be a good one. Right now, the statement of cash flows gives many of us heartburn, and that includes accountants. It looks like a reconciliation rather than a clear statement of cash flowing in and out. And, you know, right now it's created, it's showing changes in AR and changes in AP, and it's difficult to understand. And I'm one of the first ones that stand up and say, you know, I can't stand the cash flow. I recognize how important it is. It's part of our monthly packet, and we spend a lot of time looking at it at JMT. But it's not a fun statement. And it's especially difficult because everything, every day, and everything we've learned in school is all about accrual accounting, so it can be difficult to go back to thinking in terms of cash, especially when the statement of cash flows is formatted the way it currently is. So the FASB gets all of that, and so the proposed new format will show cash flowing in and cash flowing out, which is known as the direct method. And this is a really, I think, a huge improvement. It's also, there are other changes are going to be how transactions flow to what lines and segments on the cash flow statement. And it's going to present cash receipts and payments in three different categories or sections, operating, investment, and financing activities. So it's going to be a lot clearer. I'm actually looking forward to this change with excitement. Because I'm hopeful this is a very important financial statement, and I'm hopeful that it will get the attention it really deserves in terms of, you know, monthly or quarterly reporting that's being done. We've talked a bit about financial performance, only a little bit. And so one topic that's been raised a number of times by the NAC, and that's that committee I was talking about earlier, the Nonprofit Accounting Advisory Committee, has been the idea in the discussion that there needs to be some sort of operating measure rather than merely reporting changes in net assets. So, you know, we think about operating measure, and the challenge to this concept is that finding an operating measure that's relevant across all the different types of nonprofits. So, you know, for example, here again, using a Meals on Wheels, you know, that organization's operating measure would be totally different than what a university or educational institute would have as an operating measure. So how do you sort of standardize this? This is one of those things that is, you know, being thought through, but think about that. You're going to have this happen in the future. The overall direction of increased visibility is going to be reviewed, and this operating, quote-unquote, operating measure is, it's now being spoken about by the FASB, and it's going to keep moving forward. So, you know, the big key thing right now is, part of this change that's already happened is that your note disclosures in your audited financials, you're going to be required to include a time horizon for liquid assets. So they're looking at the cash flow and liquidity as being very, very important. That's the first thing. So that's going to be first, and you're going to have to report on nature and function. So there's a lot of information that's being looked at. Key to all of this is, with all of these changes that are coming down on the reporting, all of this should be coming from your accounting software. So you, most of the time, we find organizations are doing a tremendous amount in spreadsheets, and you're going to need to do more and more of that in the software. Spreadsheets are being used extensively. You really want to look at what you're using, where you're using it, how you're using it, and look back to your software to meet those needs. Here again, I'm giving very specific items that are typically done manually. If you download the presentation, you can look at this further, but this gives you an idea of the functionality that you should have in place so that you can eliminate or significantly reduce spreadsheet time. So how many are using spreadsheets right now for your reporting to senior management board, your grant funding program directors, et cetera? Anybody? Let's see. Well, this is not coming up. Sherry, do we have a, let's see here if I can. Oh.
Hi, Jackie, it's DJ.
Yeah, so I don't know. My didn't show. Well, here we go. Okay. Yeah, see, so that's more normal. Mine was showing no increase. So, right, 88% of you. So a lot of time is being spent here, and this is really a key area that you can realize significant benefit for your organization. I'm going to really stress the cloud. I call the cloud the great equalizer for organizations. Historically, nonprofits were 5 to 7 years behind in technology, just could not afford the investment needed, especially taking the dollars away from program areas. The cloud really and truly changes that, and so you want to really look at your systems and what's available out there. The technology here again, it is current, and it is eliminating more and more of the tedious manual intensive efforts of years ago. So, you know, the new systems are built on sound accounting principles as a basic, and then they're expanded to meet the increased reporting and performance measurements required, all the things that I've been speaking about. So you really want to have a clear understanding of what you're able to utilize. A lot of this is, you know, based on older systems, and these basically get eliminated with the new technology. So the ability to track information down to whatever depth of detail you need, including dollars and statistical, is available to you, and so that's really key. So your software needs to do more. You need to have visibility into information. It's all about dashboards now, data visualization. You need to, and the ability to have a dashboard that's in the format that your constituents like to see, your readers like to see. Your program managers will want information in a format that that resonates with them, not just the finance department. and the new technologies allow you to do this, and this is something you really want to keep in mind. I'm a big believer of spreading information out and making people owners of the information that they need to track and measure, and they can do that with new technology. Also, employee and volunteer time and expense tracking. This is one of the big things. Nonprofits are about people. On average, 80% of the expense in an organization is staff, either direct or indirect, and you need ease of use to get information in and visibility to see it, and that's not just for the finance department but for the users as well. Workflow approvals and controls, I mentioned this earlier. You really need to automate this entire process so that you can get the visibility that you need at the time that you need it, and that is in a format that the users can embrace and that they will use. And so you need to be able to manage every dollar that flows through your organization from the moment it comes in or from the moment it is anticipated to be, you know, used. And I said it, you'll notice I said anticipated, not spent. Spent is historical. You can't control and manage your grants the right way if you're always chasing after the fact of what's been spent. You know, the key thing here is visibility to information, control that the system is providing to you, and that strong financial management is only going to continue to increase, and your systems need to support the changes that are coming with the FASB, both the current ones that will probably start to hit in the first 6 months of 2016 and the future ones that they are considering. Thank you. So, Vijay, I'm going to hand it back to you.
Great. Thank you, Jackie, for that very informative walkthrough. Just as we wrap up here, Jackie made a lot of great comments about, you know, how things are changing and what you need out of systems in order to be able to better accommodate and adjust to those changes and get in line with them. What I wanted to do in concluding today's presentation is a couple things. You know, Jackie was a strong advocate of the cloud, and Intact is a cloud financial management and accounting solution. And I wanted to recap just really quickly some of the reasons why, you know, organizations have turned to cloud financial management solutions like Intact. The first part is really in process efficiency and just having, you know, more automation and more controls around what you need to get done, you know, on a day-to-day basis. It helps with accuracy. It helps with compliance. And so there's a whole process automation angle to it. And when we have nonprofit organizations switch from, you know, systems like QuickBooks or on-premises systems into Intact, right away they see an immediate, you know, return and gain from being more efficient. But the second benefit is around being able to look at the long term and, you know, have a great handle on how you're doing, not just from a financial performance perspective, but also operationally around those outcome measures, and then having the visibility that you need to be able to look at your performance, you know, by, you know, different programs that you're running, look at performance by fund. All of those aspects of granular visibility that help you understand and your stakeholders understand, you know, how your nonprofit is succeeding in delivering on its mission. So both pillars in terms of, you know, process efficiency as well as visibility and being able to manage for the long term. And that's really what we've been able to help our customers do, you know, both our for-profit and our nonprofit customers, is really expand on delivering their mission with greater and greater success. Specifically for nonprofits, you know, there's a lot of activity now with multiple nonprofit organizations collaborating on missions and being able to support growing into multiple locations. That's really something that a cloud financial management technology like Intact enables our nonprofit customers to do. So with that, I want to move over to handling some questions. So Jackie, we've got a number of questions that have come up, and if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to send a few your way to get your perspectives on these.
Sure.
So there's a couple of questions that have come up around the requirements and their applicability. A couple of folks asked, are any of these new requirements going to apply to them if they happen to be a nonprofit that does not receive any federal grants?
So the FASB requirements will be applicable regardless of whether or not you receive any federal grants. This is a general accounting standards change across the board. So they will be applicable regardless of your funding source. These are FASB. I did not speak about GASB. These are FASB specific that I'm talking about.
Great. Another question that's come up is just around QuickBooks and, the ability of QuickBooks to support nonprofit organizations in general, but also going forward. I had some perspectives on that, but before I got to that, I wanted to see if, Jackie, you could share what your experiences have been.
Sure. So I'll provide the disclosure caveat right out of the gate that I am not a fan of QuickBooks for nonprofit organizations. I understand certainly why many organizations will go down that path, but nonprofits, our experience and my experience has been that a lot of time is spent outside of QuickBooks in working on a board report or on a funder report. You just don't have, A, the visibility that you need and should have, and, B, you're spending time outside of a system where you could be getting it by literally pushing a button. I'm also, from an accountant perspective, not a fan of QuickBooks because I think, the temptation of just being able to change information as needed, while that's fun and easy to do, and we might think it's great, that's not accounting, and so I'm not a fan of QuickBooks in any way, shape, or form.
And I just add a couple of comments. I mean, Jackie, you talked about reporting and you talked about controls a little bit. The one thing that I would add, from my experience and the experience of Intact customers that previously used to use QuickBooks, those two issues come up again and again and again, certainly. And just to put a finer point on it, for nonprofits that are, running multiple programs or running multiple locations and need to have visibility, into performance by program, by location, that just is something that they find very difficult to do with QuickBooks and very easy to do with Intact. So we have hit the top of the hour here. And so what I wanted to do is, thank everyone for their participation, for their questions. And there's a few questions we didn't get to. We'll be sure to follow up with you individually. Also wanted to thank our main speaker today, Jackie Tiso from JMT Consulting. And at this point, what I'd like to do is hand the session back over to Paya.
Thank you, DJ. Yes, thanks, everybody. On behalf of Intact and Nonprofit Pro, I want to thank you for attending today's webinar. And please be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and upcoming webinars, and you'll be able to find this one there, too. Also, I'd like to mention that Nonprofit Pro has a peer-to-peer conference coming up on October 1st in Baltimore, Maryland, so please be on the lookout for more information about that event. And lastly, please just take a minute to fill out the brief feedback survey that will appear on your screen next. We would be very grateful because your feedback influences the webinars we bring to you in the future. So thanks again, and I hope to see you at the next Nonprofit Pro webinar. Have a great day.